Yes, question. All right, the Rosh Kapitel tests Vav, and this is an incredibly famous kapitel. If there could be such a thing to be said as a kapitel more famous than another kapitel, but there's a very famous Gemara about this kapitel. This kapitel only has 5 pesukim in it. This kapitel only has 5 pesukim, and the Gemara says as follows. Ba David, King David came, vehemidan al achas esrei, and he established 11 commandments as the equivalent of the 613 commandments. David did. The Gemara then enumerates those 11 commandments, all of which are found in our kapitel tonight. And it says that those 11 commandments are the equivalent of the entire Taryag mitzvahs, of the entire 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara then goes on and actually continues after it says that, and it says that Yeshaya, the Navi, came along, and Yeshaya came, Ben Yeshahu came, Vehamidin al Sheish, and he boiled down Taryag mitzvahs to 6. The 6 mitzvahs in the Navi Yeshaya, and the Gemara discusses those, and then finally it says, Ba Micha, the Navi Micha came, Ve'amidon al Shalosh, and he established everything in 3 commandments. Now, obviously, David HaMelech isn't canceling any mitzvahs. The mitzvahs in the Torah are eternal, and nothing is going to cancel them. So what does it mean that David HaMelech has brought Taryag mitzvahs down to 11 mitzvahs? And that's what we're going to see here. Although if I could ask a favor, I actually gave my own copy of the kapitel out and the handout too. So if you give me a copy so that I can actually see what we're reading. Thank you very much. So we're going to see 11 commandments here. And we're going to see those 11 commandments and what David HaMelech is referring to and how they encapsulate the entire 613 mitzvahs. Now, one of the things that we said the very first week we started that we were not going to do when we learned Tehillim is that the Sefer Tehillim is the basis of a lot of the Christian claims to their beliefs, and that their proofs, quote-unquote, and their evidences that Judaism is false are often brought from Sefer Tehillim. Now, we said that we weren't really going to discuss any of that because our purpose here was to learn Sefer Tehillim and not to learn Sefer Christianity. However, not only did the Christians pick up on this, but our own brethren in the Reform movement, one of the things they said is, you see, even David HaMelech says you don't have to do the actual mitzvahs. You just have to do these 11 things. And in fact, Micha says all you have to do is really be a nice person. So therefore, you really don't have to do any of these mitzvahs. So obviously that's a preposterous statement. But I'm just mentioning parenthetically that this is the source of where those outrageous statements come from. We're not going to really get into it, but this kapitel, Tezvah, 5 pesukim. And in fact, the 11 principles are enumerated in pesukim 2 through 5. In 4 pesukim, we're going to see what David HaMelech considers to be the entire essence of doing Taryag mitzvahs. If you remember in the last kapitel, last week, David HaMelech had rebuked evildoers. Evildoers, that's the right word to say?
Yeah.
Evildoers. I'm beginning to sound like Art Scroll. He rebuked evildoers. Now, in this kapitel, he's going to describe the righteous people and what the righteous people are doing. Now, one of the things that we're going to notice is that the emphasis in these 11 principles is on Bein Adam L'Chavero, on things between man and their fellow man.
Hillel got it down to 1.
Hillel got it down to 1. We might get to that, but
I mean, it's the same
progression.
Yeah. Now, in David's generation, the people were generally righteous, and they were learned, and they were observant. But if we recall from the past, they also had a tendency to go astray and be corrupted by leaders and ideas that seemed pretty reasonable and would lead them down a terrible path, such as we saw Doeg and Achitophel, and we saw that sometimes the people didn't support David against his enemies. So while the people themselves on an individual basis were learned and were observant, in David's generation, sometimes people went astray in Beit Adam L'Chaver. And we'll, after we go through the kapitel, we'll review a little bit how this encapsulates the entire Torah. So let's start.
Unlike our generation
of perfect tzaddikim. Isn't that convenient? So the first pasuk is in the bottom left-hand corner, and then it continues back up on the top of the next page. Mizmor LeDavid. A mizmor for David. Hashem mi yagur be'oalecha. Hashem, who will journey in your tent? Mi yishkon dehar kodshecha. And who will dwell in your holy mountain? Now, the question is, what does this mean exactly? What kind of a journey are we talking about? Yagur, to journey, or to described here as sojourn, actually. Thank you. Yagur means a temporary journey. A temporary journey is called a yagur. A ger toshav is someone who's dwelling in your land, right, temporarily. So yagur is to sojourn temporarily in your land. So temporarily could mean, according to some Mefarshim, who will dwell in your tent, meaning when we come down to be Ola Regel, when we come on the three Yomim Tovim to Yerushalayim to be Ola Regel, that's what it means by journeying in your tent and dwelling on your holy mountain. However, Hirsch explains it that it's referring to who will sojourn in your tent. Sojourn means when Yaakov came down to Egypt. Because remember, he was coming down temporarily in order to be able to get food for his family. And then, who will dwell in your mountain means, on your holy mountains, means in the Beis HaMikdash. So if we read this whole pasuk, Amizmor LeDavid, Shem, who's going to sojourn in your tent temporarily, and who will dwell on your holy mountain in the Beis HaMikdash? It's clear from this pasuk that dwelling in a Shem's tent and dwelling in the Beis HaMikdash is something that a person has to earn. Who will be worthy of this? David HaMelech asks. Who will be doing this? So it's obvious that not everybody will be. That being able to dwell in the tent and to dwell in the Har B'Kodshecha is something that a person has to earn. Now the Radak says that that's all very nice. What the pasuk is really referring to is the neshama, and the dwelling is the dwelling of Olam Haba. When it says, who will sojourn in your tent and dwell on your holy mountain, it's referring to whose neshama, at the end of days, will be worthy enough to be journeying with Hashem. However we want to say, whether it's literally who will be journeying with you going up to Olo Regal, or who will be journeying with you neshama wise, it's a question. Yes.
I also learned that Yagur refers to Olam Hazeh and Nishkan refers to Olam Haba.
Yes. It refers to that because Yagur, like a sojourn in your tent, and then who will dwell in your mountain of holiness, your holy mountain. Right, so the first pasuk of the five is the question. Who is going to be worthy of this? Now we're going to say four pasukim where we're going to answer that question. Pasuk Beis. Holech tamim ufoel tzedek, one who walks in perfection and who does what is right, v'dover emes bilvavo, and speaks truth from his heart. So the first of our 11 principles is Holech Tamim, one who walks in perfect innocence. This means that a person doesn't... What does it mean to be Tamim? It means that a person doesn't make calculations for success. It means that a person simply trusts that if they get up in the morning and do the right thing, Hashem will take care of them. And I think that certainly exemplifies David HaMelech. I mean, I think once said jokingly that, repeated over the quote from where I'm forgetting, that David's foreign policy was, I'll learn and you Hashem take care of the rest. And so a person who is Tamim is someone who's not involved in calculating, well, you know, if I spend 17 more minutes doing this, and in our day, cheshbonos are everything. Everybody has a cheshbon for why they do everything. Well, I have to do this because if I learn 10 minutes less, you see, I can drive 2 more carpools. And everybody knows that Shalom Bayis is mentioned 16 times, whereas learning, everybody has a cheshbon and a reason and a whole calculation as to why they're doing something. Says David HaMelech, you know what? A holech tamim is what you should be. You just go in, it calculates here in innocence, but I would say almost in simplicity, but not simplicity as in naivete. Right? And we discussed, I think, before also that David HaMelech's emuna was that kind of tamimistic emuna. It never occurred to him to have to make a cheshbon that Hashem wouldn't take care of everything just fine. That's not naivete, that's simplicity, not the way we say, oh, that's a simple person, meaning...
All right.
So we don't mean simple as in derogatory. We simply mean a compliment, right? And the Gemara says that this refers to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is called a holech tamim because everything he did with absolute perfect faith in Hashem, and he didn't make a lot of cheshbonos about what needs to be. I didn't calculate how am I going to be a successful person. You know what? I'm going to get up today and I'm going to do what Hashem wants, and then I'll get up tomorrow and do what Hashem wants. That's a holech tamim. That's the first thing that David HaMelech says one has to do as part of the 11 principles. The second is a foel tzedek, someone who does what is right. Now, what does it mean that someone does what is right? What? A principle should be do something that's wrong? That would be a pretty bad principle, right, Devorah?
Yeah.
Right? If you say, you would think it'd be pretty obvious, do what is right. That's really, is that a big chiddush, you think? Not really. Of course you have to do what's right. So the Gemara says, this is referring to a worker who is honest and righteous. A foel tzedek. It literally means a proper worker. We're thinking foel tzedek as a righteous worker, meaning doing the works of Hashem. The Gemara says, no, it means someone who's a good worker. And it brings the example of Abba Chilkiah. Abba Chilkiah was a tremendous tzaddik, and there was a tremendous drought in the land. And Chazal sent messengers to Rabbanim, to Abba Chilkiah, to ask him to daven for rain. And he was hoeing the field with one of the little rakey things. They didn't have tractors, of course, in those days. Very labor-intensive kind of work. So here come, now I want you to picture this scene, if you will. The Rabbanim all get together and they decide that the only way out of this drought, people are starving, there's no food. Who is the tremendous tzaddik that we can get to daven for us? Abba Chilkiah. So we're going to send two of our most distinguished members to Abba Chilkiah, and we're going to ask him to daven on behalf of Gantz Klal Yisrael. So they get there, and Abba Chilkiah is hoeing, weeding his farm. And he won't even look at them. And they say, excuse me, and they try and get his attention. He refuses to look at them. They stay there for hours trying to get him to even speak. He refuses to speak. Until finally they leave. They come back that night, and he says that I'm a day laborer. My employer was paying for me to work for the day. If I had even stopped to look at you, it would have been stealing from my employer. That, says David HaMelech, is a foel tzedek. That's a person who is a righteous worker. We all know one of the three questions that will be asked in Olam Haba is, did you do your business be'emes? Right, what does that mean? Right? Did you do what was right? Foel tzedek. So some of the Mefarshim say a foel tzedek is not just literally a worker, but someone who's willing to do what's right, whether or not it's popular or the accepted thing. Also a very difficult thing to do. How many things in our lives we go along with because that's the way everybody does it. That's the way it's done. Whether it's in work, whether it's in school, whether it's whatever part of our lives, that's the way it's done. And we go along with it. Says David HaMelech, that's not a fo'el tzedek. A fo'el tzedek does what's right. So imagine Reb Elyashiv and Reb Elyashiv coming and asking you, if you could please daven, because the entire Klal Yisrael needs you to feel so they won't starve, and you won't even look up at him. That's a full El Tzedek. That's the second of David HaMelech's 11 rules. The third of David HaMelech's 11 rules is V'doiver Emes Vilbovo. He speaks the truth in his heart. Now, what does that mean? It means that a person is committed to the truth even if he hasn't spoken it. The Gemara says that this is Rav Safra. Rav Safra was saying Kriya Shema, and a fellow came over and offered to buy his donkey for a certain price. Now, the person didn't realize Rav Safra was saying Kriya Shema, and Rav Safra didn't answer him because you can't interrupt Kriya Shema to sell your donkey. Right? So the guy doubled his price, thinking, you know what, why Rav Safra didn't answer me? He wants more money for his donkey. So instead of, I don't know how much it was, let's say 1,000 zoos, I'll give you 2,000 zoos. So Rav Safra finished Kriya Shema and said, I'll take your first offer. Now, why did he take the first offer? The second offer was much, much, much better. And the guy was willing to pay the third offer. Because in his mind, he had been willing to take the first offer. He just couldn't speak because he was saying Kriya Shema. So since he was committed to Emes, Emes doesn't mean just what you say out loud. You have to be a Dover Emes Bilvavo. In your heart, you have to also be a speaker of Emes. So since he had said in his brain, 1,000, no. Okay, I would sell donkey for that. All right? But he didn't nod or anything. Let's say he couldn't even, just didn't move his face at all. Except for his mouth for creation. Right. So would the guy have known any better if he'd sold it for 2,000? Halachically, could he have sold it for 2,000?
Yeah.
No. Sure. Yeah. Because he never agreed to 1,000. So the halachas, he could have sold it for 2,000, but he's a Dover Emes Belvavo. He speaks the truth in his heart. Pasuk Gimel. Now the Rabbi says, Lo ragol al lashayinu. There's no slander on his tongue. Lo asa l'reyehu ra. And he doesn't do evil to his neighbor. V'cherpa lo nasa al krovo. And disgrace he does not lift up upon his relatives. We got a lot of things in verse Pasuk 3 here. Lo ragol al lashona, no slander on his tongue. This is obviously referring to Lashon Hara. The Gemara says that this is referring to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's mother wanted him to get the bracha from Yitzchak. And he argued with his mother. Now we think, of course, because it was a whole scheme. But what did he argue with his mother? Kibud Ein would have never argued with his mother. But he didn't want to deceive his father because he was afraid he might do something and he might say something that would be deceptive. Only when his mother told him it was a nevuah was he willing to go along with it. And I think that we could give 400 shirim on Lashon Hara, but I think that it's pretty much self-explanatory. One of the principles is that ragol al lashona, there's no slander on his tongue. No, lo asa l'reyehu ra'a. He doesn't do evil to his neighbor. Now, what does it mean, his neighbor? Neighbors are people that you have frequent contact with. It's real easy to be careful about not doing something bad in special circumstances. So let's say, for example, you're having a bar mitzvah, and you're having all the out-of-town relatives here, and tons of people over to the house, and you've painted the house, and put new curtains on, and gotten bookshelves. It's just a made-up example, okay? And you rearrange the table so that 4,000 people can fit here for Friday night. And so everybody's going to be on their best behavior. Nobody's going to be doing anything to harm anybody. Everybody's going to be very careful. Excuse me, do you have a comfortable place to sit? Uncle so-and-so, and so-and-so, how are you? But you know, Reyehu, your neighbors, people that you're close to, and you have frequent contact with, you don't think about that. You get used to that. Right? So you do no evil to re'ehu, to the people that you're used to seeing every day. And that's friends, neighbors, family, spouses. It's much harder to be a lo aso l're'ehu ra to your re'ehu than it is in special circumstances. Now the Gemara adds to this, it also means someone who never competes unfairly with business rivals. Now this seems like a somewhat obvious thing, and I don't know how many of us here are involved in the cutthroat day-to-day world of business, or how many of us wish we weren't involved in the cutthroat day-to-day world of business. But the day-to-day world of business is cutthroat. And it's brutal, it's competitive. Most businessmen approach it like it's a zero-sum game. If I win, if I lose, someone else won. If I win, someone else is going to lose, so I have to get mine. Says the Gemara, not doing evil to your fellow means not having such an attitude in business. That Hashem provides the parnasa. I do my hishtadlus. If I get a lot of money, I get a little money, I get no money, I get tons of money. I win the lottery this week, I don't win the lottery this week. It's all from Hashem. And it doesn't matter, I don't have to try and compete unfairly against my rivals in business. I don't have to put up a big sign that says, come to my store and I'll give you a special, super duper, or whatever. I don't have to do that. So then, if Re'ehu is those people, what are V'cherpelo Nasa Al Kroivoi? What does it mean that he doesn't lift up, not cast, it really means not lift up, doesn't lift up disgrace upon his relatives? So Rashi says it literally means that you don't overlook crimes and things that a relative would do. In other words, if a relative does something wrong and they should be taken to Beis Din for it, you wouldn't carry that disgrace upon yourself and not make sure that they got their appropriate punishment. You know, we don't have any Beis Din nowadays, so I'm not sure what that would mean nowadays. But the Radak says that it means you overlook the insults of the people closest to you. You don't carry the disgrace of what they say.
You do overlook it.
You do overlook it. Did I say didn't? Sorry.
You
don't, right? He does not lift up the disgrace of his relatives. So when you disgrace me, Mr. Relative, by saying that I'm a two-bit bum, I can overlook that. And Radak says the people that are closest to you are the people that this specifically applies to. A person who follows this principle ignores insults from their spouse, from their children, from their siblings, because I don't want to carry that disgrace upon me. I don't want to lift up that disgrace and make it worse than it is. See, it says not cast, but I would say nasa. You're not lifting up that disgrace and making it worse than it is.
Well, it says disgrace, he is not cast in the first, not cast even upon those who have done so to him, meaning in the come out.
I never argue with hard scroll, but I would say more means the overlooking aspect of it, as opposed to, I mean, I guess not doing the comma is sort of overlooking. If my brother insults me and I overlook it, if I don't overlook it, I'm likely to insult him back. The next step is I'm going to say, well, you know what? I'm a two-bit bum, you're a three-bit bum. Whatever. So my brother and I never insulted, so we don't know how to do those kinds of things. Right? Fortunately, my mother's not here. Do not play this tape for her. She will go into shock if she hears such a thing. And the Gemara says not only does he not disgrace them, carry that disgrace by lifting it up further and dragging it out more, people who insult him, he draws them closer. So a person who really doesn't want to lift up that disgrace, when my brother calls me a two-bit bum, I draw him closer and I say, you know what? Is there something you're unhappy with me about? How can I help you, brother? Nowhere in the Gemara does it say anything about this being an easy thing to do.
Right? But nonetheless, this is one of the Ikarim, one of the principles that David HaMelech says is one of the principles, 11 principles of the Torah, is being able to lift up past the disgrace of people that are close to you. So we got 6 down so far. Now, we haven't seen a lot of things about keep Shabbos and keep kosher and things like that, have we? So we're going to have to see in the end how all this ties into what the actual Tarryag Mitzvah is. So it says in Pasuk Dalet, Nivza be'einav nimas, a contemptible low person is repulsive in his eyes. Right? So the despicable person is repulsive. The es yirei Hashem yichabed, and he honors those who fear Hashem. Nishba lahara velo yamir, and he can swear to his detriment without taking it back. So the first part of the pasuk says, despicable in his eye, the despicable people in his eyes, or despicable things in his eyes are repulsive. So this is number 7. And it means that it doesn't falsely flatter a wicked person. Things that are despicable, and they're despicable, and we don't pretend they're not.
What's despicable?
Despicable means very bad. Blech, blech, blech. Despicable. So we would not, something that's despicable is despicable. We don't falsely flatter it. So if there's somebody as a despicable person or doing despicable things, we don't say, well, you know what? That's okay, we'll still honor you at our dinner. Or we will, whatever, right? The despicable things are despicable. Now the Radak takes...
I actually have a question.
About despicableness?
Yeah.
Despicability?
How to treat somebody like that? I know a person who absolutely... It was horrible to a Tommy Coughlin publicly.
Mm-hmm.
They embarrassed him, they insulted him, they fought with him, it was terrible. I don't know for sure they did that. I didn't witness it, but I'm positive they did this, okay? And matter of fact, the Tommy Coughlin lost his job because of it. Okay? How am I supposed to treat that person?
Well, first of all, I don't know all the facts of the case. So I'm just going on the sort of simple explanation that you're giving and assuming there's no extenuating circumstances that I don't necessarily know about. But whatever you do to that person is not going to be as bad as what Hashem's going to do to you. Right? Embarrassing a Talmud Chacham in public is something that he would be lucky to survive in Shemayim. How we should act towards such a person, I would really think would depend on the circumstances of the case. And I would think you would have to ask someone who knows more about the circumstances than me.
Well, that's the problem, is that people say, oh, you should, you know, forgive him or something. If there's a contemptible person, in his eyes is repulsive. And I don't talk to the person, and I don't...
Well, we also have a halacha of Dan Lechav Schus. So Dan Lechav Schus means that if a person is... If a person is a tzaddik and a big Talmud Chacham, we assume that he does tshuva for something he does wrong. So if you see a big Talmud Chacham doing something wrong, if you see a regular person, not regular mitzvah observant person, right? So we try and make a reasonable assumption that the person probably is doing tshuva, unless we know for certain that the person is not doing tshuva.
So, okay, so that's what I've been told. But then it says here, in his eyes, a despicable person is repulsive.
Well, it's repulsive in his eyes. The question is, what does he do about it?
No, I didn't do it. I mean, right? I don't deal with this.
And the Radak, now listen to what the Radak says, though. He said it means that your own despicableness is supposed to be repulsive in your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Means that you're supposed to, that if you have accomplished a lot, you have no pride in your accomplishments, you think you're still despicable because you know how much more you could have accomplished. Now, the Gemara gives an example of despicable being repulsive in his eyes to King Chizkiyahu. Now, King Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik, and if you look at the history of the kings of Yehuda and Yisrael up until the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, there were tzaddikim and there were rishayim mixed up. Sometimes there were melachs, there were malachim. Melachs, did I just say? On tape I said that. Right. There were malachim that were please forgive me, tape people. There were malachim who were big tzaddikim, and there were malachim who were big rishayim. So Achaz was a rasha and who brought avodah zarah to the nation. But his son Chizkiyahu was a big Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik, and he dragged the bones of his father through the street after his father was niftar, in order to show what happens to a person who does avodah zarah. The Gemara says, you know what that is? That's nivze be'einav nimmas. That he could not bring himself to leave his father's bones buried, because it was so despicable to him what his father had done that he dragged his bones through the street.
Well, he has to be dead for a while before
there are
his bones left.
Probably. This Yirei Hashem Yechabed, and he fear, I'm sorry, those who fear Hashem, he honors. Gemara says, you know what an example of this was? Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat was a melech, and he would sit on his... One of the things malachim, or melechs, did all day was... I thought that would make that misdreaming. Was sit on their throne and receive people. In fact, we have a young child here who... I have a son David, who has learned about David HaMelech and wants to know if he too, David, can have a throne, he being my son.
And servants.
I explained he pretty much does have both of those things, but...
But subtly,
yes. So he would sit on his throne, and whenever a Talmud Chacham would come in to approach him, he would get up from his throne and kiss him and cry, my master, how great are you?
Would David be included in
that? We'll have to teach him that part. Now, think of everything we've learned about Malachim over, not just in Tehillim, but in the Megillas that we learn. A Melech getting up from his throne to greet anybody is almost a newsworthy occasion. The AP press of its day would have had to put out a wire story. David arose from his throne to greet somebody. Yet this king, every time a Talmud Chacham came in, would get up and kiss him and cry what a great person he was. That's someone who gives honor to those who fear Hashem. There's a famous Me'iri. The Me'iri was a commentator on the Gemara, a very prolific commentator. He was a Rishon, and he says that, you know, you can really take the measure of a man. Hard to take the measure of a man. Because, you know, every person thinks they're going to learn, do mitzvahs, be great, but how can you really tell the essence of whether a person is really a good person or not? Look at what they praise and give honor to. If a person tries to learn, but doesn't learn as much as he could, but he gives honor to Talmid HaChachamim, and he shows his children that this is something that you are a Mechabed, a Talmid Chacham, so that's a good person. The person doesn't learn as much as he could, and he doesn't give honor to Talmid Chacham. Instead, he gives honor to baseball players. Memiri doesn't say baseball players, but whatever the baseball players were of the time. So that's a person whose essence is not in the right direction. Both of those people could be learning the same amount, could be doing the same amount of mitzvahs. Who's the guy whose family you want to marry into? The person who's mechabed the Talmid Chachamim, or the person who's mechabed the Talmid baseball. So that's what David HaMelech says. Okay. Principle number 8 is, as Yirei Hashem Yechabed, he gives kavod to those who fear Hashem. Principle number 9 is, Nishpa Lohare Velo Yamer. He swears to his detriment and doesn't take it back. This is referring very specifically to someone who takes a shavua, who takes an oath, in order to help them do something. The Gemara brings an example. Rabbi Yochanan was invited to eat at the Nasi's house. And it was a fancy place, a fancy dinner. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to go, because he felt that, you know, if he goes to such a fancy kind of dinner, it might lead to too much gaiva on his part. And who is he to be at such a fancy dinner? And it might make it hard for him to be humble. He didn't want to be consorting with the rich and fancy, even though there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. All the people there were Talmid Chachamim. But Rabbi Yochanan personally, for his own spiritual growth, just felt that he didn't want to go. But how do you turn down an invitation from the Nasi? So Rabbi Yochanan took a shavua that he was going to fast for the entire next day.
He told the Nasi, you know what? I would love to come. But I took a shvua that I'm fasting tomorrow for all my averos and to do teshuva, so what can I do? And indeed, he fasted for the next 24 hours. So the Gemara says, that's someone who swears to his detriment. So what does it mean, swears to his detriment? It means help himself do things by swearing off to do things in order to help him. Because now, if he takes a shvua, makes a nedir that he's going to fast, and he doesn't fast, that's an isur d'oraisa. So now he can't go to the Nasi's house. So that's number 9. Someone who helps themselves by taking a shavua in order to avoid doing things. Pasuk hey. Kaspo onosim b'neshek. He does not lend money with interest. The shoychid al naki lo lachaf, and he doesn't take a bribe against the innocent. I say Ela lo yimoth le'olam. The doer of these will not falter forever and ever. So he does not lend his money with interest. Number 10. That might seem that that's pretty simple, because there's a mitzvah that you're not allowed to charge interest when you loan somebody money, right? So if I loan you $50 million, okay, and I say, you know what, tomorrow pay me back $50 million and give me interest of $10. Am I allowed to do that? So, David HaMelech is picking that as one of his principles, right? Wrong. The Gemara says that what it's referring to is not that, but rather lending to a non-Jew without interest. There's no mitzvah, there's no halacha in the Torah that says you can't charge a non-Jew interest. There are Jewish banks. People come in and out all day, borrow money and interest. And the Gemara even gives a specific case. Let's say that a non-Jew does a favor for a Jew. And so the Jew wants to give him a present to express, you know, how appreciative he is of whatever this favor is he did to me. So it says people are sometimes uncomfortable taking presents, and they'll say no, no, no. But if you offer someone a loan for their business, or for whatever their particular needs are, that's something people would take you up on. So the Jew could go to the non-Jew and say, you know what? So I appreciate what you did for me. I know you need to expand your factory. So I'd like to give you a loan of $50 million, and in 6 months you can give it back to me when you build your factory. No interest, just to show you how appreciative I am. That's number 10. That's Kaspalo Nelson Benesha. Lends his money without interest.
He does not lend with interest.
Correct. Right. He lends without interest. Correct.
That means to blame.
Correct.
Wow.
V'shoychid al naki lo lakav. And a bribe against the innocent he does not take. Now, he doesn't take a bribe.
What does that mean? He lends without interest? That's Yisheris, or that's like Kiddush Hashem? I mean, it's like unheard of. It's like not even normal in this day and age.
It's, in other words, why is this a principle?
Yes.
All right? It would seem that of all the things to pluck out, and the before should say, it's a Kiddush Hashem.
Yes,
it's a Kiddush Hashem.
Okay. I guess being a native Chicago, and I want to know if it's okay to take a bribe against the guilty.
B'shechel al nachil alakak, you can't take a bribe against the innocent. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, you're not allowed to take a bribe. But it means, right, even a bribe that would seem okay, like a bribe to free a person that's innocent. Say a person has been put in jail, but they're innocent. That was a mistake. Right? And so you say, listen, Your Honor, you're not bribing them to do something wrong, you're bribing him to do something right. So listen, I give my kids candy if they say brachas. So give the judge a free trip to Switzerland if he lets the guy out of jail. What's the difference? The difference is none of them all, because you can't do that. A bribe is a bribe is a bribe. And people who want to be Yiras Shemayim people don't bribe. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Yossi, there was a guy that owed him money, the Gemara says. And every Friday, the guy used to bring a basket of fruit towards what he owed him. So every Friday, the guy would come into town from his, I guess, fruit orchard, you call it? And he would bring a whole big stuff full of fruits for Rabbi Yossi. For Rabbi Yishmael ben Yossi. I don't know what kind of fruits, but it was a significant thing. He didn't bring him an apple. He was bringing him a whole big shipment of stuff. So once, the guy came into town on Thursday with the big shipment. Rabbi Yishmael ben Yossi, it's not Friday. Usually you come on Friday. He says, you know, I know. But what days does Beis Din meet? Beis Din meets on Monday and Thursday in the city. And I happen to have to come to Beis Din today, and you're the Beis Din guy. So I have to come to your Beis Din anyway. So I didn't want to have to schlep all the way back tomorrow with this humongous stuff. So I brought it in today. Right? So Rabbi Yishmael ben Yossi wouldn't take it. He was afraid that having gotten his fruits one day earlier might somehow subtly influence him. It's completely innocent to the judge. There's no reason he can't take that fruit. Right? It's not a bribe. The guy doesn't want anything. It's giving him his normal thing. In fact, he's saving the guy from having to schlep all those miles with the big wagon tomorrow. Rabbi Yossi wouldn't take it. Right? Because v'shachar al naki, even for innocent things, for innocent things or for innocent people, stay away from bribes.
Yeah, but you know, but they're giving him such they have to go back again. And how is that a good thing? He's made the guy miserable.
So, you know, the guy comes every Friday. The guy has to come every Friday anyway. All right? The guy comes every the guy comes every Friday to do this. That's part of what the guy has to do, to pay the money back. But he can't, if he wants to bring it on Thursday, fine. But he can't bring it on Thursday and come to Beis Din on Thursday. He wants to bring it on Thursday, and then he wants to come next week to Beis Din, fine. But you can't give something that you can't bribe for an innocent person, or you can't give a bribe that seems to be quote unquote innocent, an innocent bribe. And if you do all this, as David HaMelech, Ose Ela, the doer of these, Lo Yimot Le'olam, will not falter forever. And if you do falter, David HaMelech is saying. Falter will not stumble. Will not stumble forever. With a soft would be that. Will not stumble forever. And Rabbi Akiva says, why David HaMelech says that? It doesn't say Ase Kol Eila. It doesn't say if you do all of these. If you do even one of these, Hashem will help you not falter. And if you do falter, Le'olam, Hashem will help you back up again. So if you do these, and according to Rabbi Akiva, if you do even one of these, you won't falter, and if you do falter, don't worry, because Hashem will help you rebound. Now the Radak, who said that the first Pasuk was referring to Neshama in Olam Haba, true to his own sheet, that says that this is referring to Olam Haba. You won't falter. When won't you falter? La'olam. You'll have a reward, La'olam, if you do even one of these. Even one of these. Now, the Gemara says these encompass all Taryag mitzvahs. How is that possible? That these 11 different areas can encompass all Taryag mitzvahs. So it says in the beginning, in Pasuk Beis, Holech Tamim, walks in innocence and simplicity. So that would include many prohibitions in the Torah. Sorcery, misuse of human body. There are a lot of prohibitions that will be covered by a person maintaining their innocence and simplicity. A person who acts justly, foel tzedek, does what is right. Well, all positive, all mitzvahs, all commandments would be foel tzedek, doing what's right. Lo ragal al lashayna, not saying lashon hara, that would be all the asurim of speech. Not doing evil to your fellow man. Unfortunately, so that's almost the whole Torah. And as you mentioned, Hillel boiled it down to saying to one thing. Right? That's almost the whole Torah. Swearing would refer to oaths. Interest is self-explanatory. And honoring those that fear Hashem would refer to judges, courts, based in parents, Talmid HaChachamim. So, in a certain way, now David HaMelech, what does it mean by this? These are not something that's supposed to replace the 613 mitzvahs. It means that these are the steps, the things that you do in order to get Hashem's assistance to fulfill the mitzvahs. As each generation goes by, it's harder and harder to just get up and do all the mitzvahs. So David HaMelech is saying, well, you want to be a righteous person, and you want to do all the mitzvahs. So you know what? You're right. You need Hashem's help for that. It's not so easy. So you know what? Here's how you get Hashem's help. You do these 11 things. According to Rabbi Akiva, if you even do one of those, and Hashem will help you. And that's what it is that David HaMelech has brought down Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs, into 11 mitzvahs. If you want to have help to accomplish the whole Torah, do these 11 things. Because initially, Hashem said, you want to accomplish the whole Torah, do these 613 things. Okay, well, David Amar says, you know what, we got to do the 613 things. If you need help to do that, do these 11 things and you'll get help from it. Yeshaya comes along later than David HaMelech. And Yeshaya said, the Navi says, you know what? Even those 11 things, you need, if you want to do, if you want to have Hashem help you to fulfill the Torah, then do at least these 6 things to get Hashem's assistance. And those 6 things that Yeshaya said were, Holech tzedakos, to walk with righteousness, dover misharim, speak with fairness, moes bevetza bashakos, despise any improper gain, noer kapov mitmoch b'shochad, shake your hand away from bribery, otem ozno mishmoa dami, close your ear from hearing things that you shouldn't, ve'otzem einav meros berah, and shut your eyes from seeing evil. The Gemara then reviews how those 6 things encompass all of the different ideas, like David HaMelech's 11, so that you can get assistance from Hashem to do all 613. And then finally, Micha comes along, the Navi, and he says, so Micha was like right after Yeshaya, a Navi. Or maybe they overlapped a little bit. But Yeshaya and Navi came first, and then Micha. And he says, you know what Micha says? He says, Yim asos mishpat, do justice, ve'avas chesed, and love chesed, v'neitzi lechem es Hashem elochach kecha, and go modestly in the ways of your God. So Micha says, if you can do those 3 principles, Hashem will help you.
What was the first one?
The first one was to do justice, kim asos mishpat, to love chesed, and to walk modestly with your God. That's a wonderful summary of Taryag Mitzvahs. The terrible thing that is beyond sad is when reform came along and said, you know what this means? All you have to do is like kindness and walk a little bit with God, and just that doesn't really mean anything. So therefore, and destroy thousands of years of what the Navi were trying to teach in one fell swoop. Micha and Navi has come along and saying, you know what, it's hard. It's hard to do Taryag Mitzvahs. It's hard to do David HaMelech's 11 principles. It's hard to do my Rebbe Yeshaya's 6 principles. So you know what? You want Hashem to help you with Taryag Mitzvahs? Just listen to me. Just try and do these 3 things. Do justice, love chesed, and walk modestly with Hashem. Try and do those 3 principles, and then Hashem will help you to do Yeshaya 6 and David's 11, and to fulfill all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. That's what Micha HaNavi says. Those are the traits. They're traits, or characteristics, or types of things that people do that enable us to get assistance from Hashem to fulfill the entire Torah. We should all be zaycha to try and do not only Micha's, but Yeshaya's and David HaMelech's traits and principles. Hashem will help us so that we should be able to do the entire Taryag Mitzvahs with a shleimus and a properness and be a pleasing sight to Avinu Shebishamayim. Questions?